been a minute. Burner, 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 do boop boop.
About the draft, and here's Coach Grendor.
Yeah,
and Rob died.
Yeah, well, it's better he dies now before he has to watch the Jets again.
That's very true, honestly. Hey,
maybe it'll be different.
It's gotta be different this season. There's no way.
Oh man, I gotta scroll so far on the website to see where the Jets pick in the draft's coming up.
Yeah, it's a while.
Oh boy.
Isn't it weird to see Patriots number 3, Jets number 10? That's, man, we're. Yeah.
It's pretty weird.
It's a whole
actually.
New world, man.
Wild times. Wild times.
So what's up, everybody? It's the pre-draft show.
Pre-draft show.
Pre-draft.
Yep.
It's it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
But true. I bet when you're listening to it, it probably already did.
That's not true. I'm uploading this today.
Oh shit. Let's go.
Yeah. Plus.
Hell yeah.
We're going to stream the draft. I'll be streaming it. And then if anyone else wants to, they can. And then people show up and then they'll listen to us as we react to the draft, which is how a live stream works.
But they picked the guy.
Whoa. I thought they picked the other guy.
They picked the guy. Why did they pick that guy?
I wanted the other guy.
Do you see this guy's hair?
This guy, Tobias Harris over me.
I hear that guy smoked marijuana and that guy played basketball.
Jimmy Graham? So we have had some news since our last show of like a little over a month ago. So let's cover some of that first before we get into our in-depth analysis on the NFL draft. All right.
Yep. Yep.
So starting with trades, we had Jerry Jeudy go to the Broncos or from the Broncos to the Browns. Yeah. He was on the Broncos.
Yeah, I was going
to
say.
Self-trade to start us off.
Traded to themselves.
So, yeah, they traded
infinite
him.
Draft pick glitch.
They traded him.
They're maddening through the 2024 season.
Which they then signed him to a 3-year, $58 million deal. I don't know if they watch Jerry Jeudy play, but
why
like,
would you do that?
No, hey, now I will not stand for this Jeudy disrespect. I know he had a down year, but he and Sutton are a good one too. In the,
I mean, I think Sutton's good.
Sutton's good. Jerry Jeudy got fucking ass blasted by a sideline reporter like halfway through the season this year, and I've never been able to look at him the same way since.
I don't remember that.
I don't know how to interpret that, but I don't think he's like.
He was
which channel is this broadcast?
The sideline reporter was like saying that Jeudy had like attitude problems or something along those lines, and then Jeudy fucking talked smack, and then the dude just went off on him, like screaming at him, and just took him down, and it was awesome.
It was pretty funny. I remember that.
That is funny. All right. So here's the thing. I looked up Jerry Jeudy's PFR.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Stat check.
He's never gone over 1,000 yards.
No. In fact, he's only
got 11 total touchdowns.
Yeah. 11 touchdowns in 4 years. That's real bad. Even if you've got like Russell Wilson throwing you the ball, like the corpse of Russell Wilson or something.
Wait,
like,
what's wrong with that, guys?
That's some more news. Yeah.
Like this is a first round receiver. Like they banked on this dude being like CeeDee Lamb, being like Justin Jefferson, and he's got 11 touchdowns in 4 years and no 1,000 yard seasons.
By those metrics, he's certainly not up to stuff, but I mean, are those salaries comparable? What's Lamb's contract right now?
I believe he is currently in negotiations to get money from Jerry Jones, and Jerry Jones, I believe I read today, said we're waiting for some leaves to fall before we make any deal. A classic Cowboys situation.
Apparently, Lamb segment on the Cowboys doing fucking nothing since the end of the season after. So it's like Green Bay stole their soul, and they've had nothing since.
We've stolen it for a while now, but
yeah,
we still haven't given it back.
So Google tells me Lamb is set to play the 2024 season on a one-year, $17 million fully guaranteed contract. So less than Judy,
yeah,
if my math is correct. Yeah, that's interesting.
This is a classic Cleveland Browns deal. If I've seen
very Cleveland Browns,
it's just so funny because like their window is already closing and it was never open in the first place.
Yeah,
it was open when they had Baker.
Yeah,
they fumbled, they closed it up. Yeah,
they fumbled it real quick.
Yep.
Like even the Falcons, they signed Darnell Mooney for 3 years, $39 million, and I genuinely think Darnell Mooney might be better than Jerry Jeudy at this point.
It's possible because Darnell Mooney had Bears energy, and anyone coming up the Bears could be good, except for me.
Is Jeudy a top 15 receiver in the league?
God no,
no.
Wow,
probably not.
That's probably not worth the money.
I mean that's a nobody wants to play for the Browns price. Is what that is.
Yeah. So this was. I mean, Broncos get some draft capital back. So, I mean, I think that's a win for the Broncos. They need all the help they can get.
Oh, yeah, that's a big win.
Especially with their new quarterback.
Yeah.
Right?
All of their fun new quarterback, especially the latest one, which we can mention now. The Jets traded our favorite player, Zach Wilson.
For a bag of chips.
Denver Broncos for...
Bro, be happy you got a bag of chips.
They swapped 6th and 7th round picks.
That is a deal for the Jets. That is a deal.
Yeah.
So, one, I agree that's a deal. But two, if that isn't anything but the most extreme indictment on the front office of this organization, that we drafted this person 2nd... overall,
yep,
in the draft, I mean, 2 years ago.
How many more indictments do we need? I feel like you're piling up at this point.
You know, you would think you wouldn't need any, but Woody Johnson, he doesn't really give a shit.
I mean, to be fair, if you watch Zach Wilson play, you really should be thankful you got anything for that guy. That's like,
I mean, yeah, but again, like then why the fuck did they draft him at 2 if he's not worth a 7th round pick straight up? They had to swap picks.
It's a great question.
That's a poor ROI right there.
Do you remember going back to that draft, what you thought of Wilson before they drafted him?
I don't think I was very high on him from what I recall, but I don't recall exactly. No.
Yeah. I might go back and listen to that and let you know.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah, for the next, for when the draft comes. Yeah, that's a good idea. I don't remember. I don't think I was very high on him, though.
Yeah, I feel like there was probably disappointment.
Wait, who was it? That was the Justin Fields draft. Yeah, no, actually, I remember. He was pretty low. Like, I think I had him as, the bottom of my board, and I had Justin Fields at the top of that one.
Oh, yeah. Which, yeah. I think Justin Fields would have done better than Zach Wilson. I think so.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, probably. I think I would have much preferred to have Justin Fields. At the very least, it would have been exciting running around.
Oh, yeah.
But, you know.
But then you never would have got Aaron Rodgers, you know?
And that's been just a blessing every day since he's joined the organization.
I think he's had more controversies than throws.
He won't shut up. He talks about it. He hates drama. He's the only one causing any drama.
It's the classic. Everybody that says they hate drama are the people causing the drama.
Yeah.
It's on every
people
time.
That hate it usually just don't talk about it if they can help.
Yeah, exactly. I didn't even comment on it.
Then the Jaguars acquired Mac Jones for a 6th round pick.
MacBook Jones, baby.
MacBook Jones. I mean, that's 6th rounder for like a backup, you know? Yeah.
This is becoming a pattern.
It's wild, though, to think about like how... I mean, maybe I'm wrong because I've only watched football since 2009.
Right.
But to my recollection, QBs didn't get thrown to the fucking in the garbage pile so quickly before, you know?
I don't know. It feels like there's a surplus of quarterback.
There, yeah, like, you're in. Yeah.
it's always like, this dude's like, it's gotten to the point where they're drafting guys that would probably go in like the fourth or fifth round, like in the first and second round, because they're like, we need quarterbacks. Because everyone realizes how important it is. Back then, I think people were like, yeah, Trent Dilfer throws the ball around. Just run, pound, ground, pound, run the ball.
Right? Yeah, yeah.
So I think the game itself has changed, which means
I think QBs overall are better, too.
Yeah.
And like the baseline QB is a lot better than back in 2009 and back in 2000 before that, too.
Yeah, no, I'd agree with that. Yeah, Mac Jones. Who would have guessed except Apollo, who said he hates Mac Jones and he's bad.
Yeah.
I was right.
The Panthers traded Brian Burns, really good pass rusher, to the Giants for a second and a fifth rounder, which probably pretty bad because I think there were rumors that last year during the year they could have gotten at least a first, maybe two firsts. So a classic.
And can I just say, pass rusher, definitely the Giants' biggest weakness. I'm glad they addressed
that. Yeah, they definitely didn't draft any of those recently. Then Deontay Johnson of the Steelers traded to the Panthers for Dante Jackson, corner.
Yeah, I both hate and don't mind this at the same time. I hate it because he's our best receiver. I don't mind it because he's our best receiver and he's not really as good as a best receiver should be. In a way, it's nice that we're getting something for him, but it's bad in that we have now created, like, we didn't have a hole at receiver. Now we have a hole at receiver. So we kind of created ourselves a problem.
Yeah.
That we now
must sounds
solve.
Like you expect to take a receiver.
There are receivers the Steelers are eyeing in the second round, and the Steelers are really good at drafting second round wide receivers.
That is very true, yeah.
I have faith in them in that regard. We signed, I don't know if you have it on your list, we signed like four different like wide receiver fours for some reason. I'm trying to remember the names, but it was one of the Rams old wide receivers, and I think
Cordarrelle Patterson.
We got Cordarrelle Patterson, that's
right.
Oh, yeah.
Interesting.
We got Jefferson, not Justin Jefferson.
Yeah, the Rams
Van
guy.
Jefferson. Rams guy. And there's another one I'm not remembering his name.
Can I just tell you, I think Cordarrelle Patterson is going to be a sleeper pick on your fucking team next year, just right now.
We'll see, because he be old.
He was, and I picked him up last year in fantasy, and he was very heavily underutilized, in my opinion.
Don't worry, the guy who underutilized him is now on our team as offensive coordinator, Rob.
Oh, right, okay.
It's going to be great. Deontay Johnson, I hope he does well in I don't have anything against him, but man, I don't know if he's gonna excel on the Panthers, that's for sure.
Panthers,
I feel like he's taken a massive downgrade.
Yeah, but the Panthers need all the help they can get on offense, so I mean,
true,
can't be that bad for him.
Doesn't this remind you though of didn't Justin Fields also get like a bargain bin wide receiver?
Well, yeah, that's the Bears.
Yeah.
DJ Moore.
Yeah, DJ Moore, who's really good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. No. There was another guy. I forget.
Was it Darnell Mooney?
Darnell.
It might have been Darnell Mooney. Didn't he come from the Steelers?
No.
He was on the Bears.
Oh, okay. I thought there was another Steelers situation where it was kind of like this, or Juju. I was thinking of Juju. Where did he go?
He went to the Patriots.
Right. Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
No, he went and won a ring with the Chiefs. And went to the Patriots.
Yeah. Right. Fair. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
I will say I'm looking at like there's a Steelers draft interest and possible candidates graph, and not important. Yeah, I mean it's the pre-draft thing, so it's important. But like I just noticed that they are interested in cornerback. Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Yes,
Kool-Aid. I saw that name.
That's a great name.
Kool-Aid McKinstry.
Yeah,
that is great.
Every time I hear a name like that, I'm like, one of these days I'm going to make this Hall of Names thing happen. Like, because there's too many good ones to not.
That
do
is
it.
Great. I mean, that one's got to be a nickname, right?
It is
like,
a nickname.
That's like sauce, right?
Yeah,
great name though.
It is a great name. Yeah. Then we had the Jets acquire Morgan Moses, offensive tackle from the Ravens, for a 6th round pick and a swap of 4th round picks.
Yeah, I mean, that's pretty nice.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
I'm happy about that.
He's pretty good offensive tackle. So, I mean, there you go. It's better than whatever the Jets had.
Oh, prior. It's all horrible. Like, pretty much the whole line's got to go, except for, like, one guy.
Yeah. Desmond Ridder got traded to the Cardinals for Rondale Moore. That was a weird one.
That is interesting.
Yeah. But a big one we didn't get to see was Keenan Allen of the Chargers traded to the Bears for a fourth rounder.
Whoa.
That's huge.
Yeah. That's a crazy one. Like that's
and how though? Is it like a contract thing?
Yeah, they didn't
is
want that
one. I see.
And he's getting older, so
I mean he's Keenan Allen though.
Yeah, he's still so Allen. Good.
So it's
there was a very funny situation where I saw all this news that was like the Chargers, they finally got under their cap hell nightmare thing. and they just kept trading players away anyway. And it was just very funny.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're like, wait, no, stop. You can stop now. Stop.
We already flipped the trade switch. You can't go back off. he had over 1,200 yards last year. Like he had, it's actually one of his best years.
Yeah.
So
he was not the problem for them.
The problem with Keenan Allen is he does have injury history. So it's like he's getting up there. Can he stay healthy? But like when he's healthy, he's a phenomenal wide receiver.
Yeah, I mean, he was only out 4 games last season. He was out 6 or 7. How many games are there the year now? 17, right? Yeah. He was out 7 the year before. So, yeah. Bro,
of his last 8 seasons have been 1,000-yard seasons. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Come on.
I mean, he missed 4 games this season and he still got 1,200 yards, you know?
Yeah.
So like, I mean, yeah, I don't know. Good. He still seems very solid.
Yeah.
And there historically speaking, there are some receivers who have had careers long into their 30s.
Isn't Mike Evans like the same age as him? And they're like Evans is at the fucking prime of his career.
Yeah, let's see.
He's
30.
Yeah.
Wow, I actually thought he was older.
I did too. I thought he was a bit older.
Yeah, they're like the same age, man. This is a very surprising move.
That's
me.
Insane.
It feels like the Chargers are giving up even more than I expected.
Mike Evans has put up 1,000-yard receiving yards every season he's played since 2014.
Yeah. Oh, dude, yeah, that's Evans insane. Is a fucking Hall of Famer.
And he must have had a different QB every like. His average amount of QBs per year is higher than any receiver. Like
we honestly don't give Mike Evans enough praise. Like he's one of a kind.
He literally did it with Josh McCown.
Yeah,
that's why you look at Jerry Judy.
Don't talk about Uncle Josh that way.
That's why you look at Jerry Judy and it's like the quarterback. It's like dude, Mike Evans over here just be like, I don't give a shit who the quarterback is. I'm putting up 1,000.
Put the ball near me, I'll get it.
Yeah,
not the way he plays, but just his career trajectory reminds me very much of Larry Fitzgerald.
Yeah.
Right?
Oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Where he was just putting up numbers. It didn't matter who was throwing to him. He'd find the ball, you know?
Yep.
And Mike Evans is pretty much like that, too.
Mm-hmm. Just like a phenomenal route runner.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, yeah, that trade was wild. I actually I was surprised the Bears actually made a good trade. It was just crazy.
Yeah.
then the Vikings, big one for the draft. They traded up to the, where is it, the 11th pick, I believe they're at now?
Mm-hmm. I'll look on Tankathon.
And they might keep moving up even more.
Oh, shit.
Because they want a quarterback, right?
Yeah, they want a quarterback.
But no one's budging in the top 5. Like, everyone's like, we want a quarterback, too.
Yeah, they want, like, a ransom of riches.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that's going to be weird. But, you know, we'll see how far they move up. Also, here's the fun. We're getting this more Apollo fun. Eagles acquired Kenny Pickett from the Steelers.
Yep.
Did we talk about that on last time or no?
I don't think we did.
I don't think so. Yeah, I don't think it happened. Yeah.
Maybe I'm crazy. I thought we did. But like, yeah, I mean, it it sucks because I still like I think he is probably bad, but I don't. Like, I'm not stepping down from the fact that I don't think he really got a great chance. Like, They're like, no, yeah, he had so long. It's like, yeah, he had so long under Matt Canada. And then the second Matt Canada went away, he had like a good game and then died to an injury.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah,
he really didn't. He still didn't get the chance he should have gotten. But it's all said and done now. And he's just going to be a backup in Philly. So it's not like he's going to be able to do anything now anyway.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it's a sad story, and we'll always remember preseason 2023 as one of the most exciting times.
That was an exciting time.
And we move on with our lives now, and you know,
who's the I guess Russell Wilson, right?
But Russell Wilson will be the starter.
Russell and Wilson, is
it Mason Rudolph still backing up?
Nope, it is the Titans' next trade. The Steelers acquiring Justin Fields.
Oh yeah, that's
okay. So we talked about Russell Wilson, we didn't talk about Pickens Fields,
which a 2025 conditional third day draft pick is what they gave up.
Oh right,
weird specification.
Yeah, I mean, that is not even a pick for this year, a pick next year on the third day. Like, they literally just gave Justin Fields to the Steelers. Like, you just take him. Like, that's insane. They couldn't even
I don't even know why, though.
It's
well, I guess they couldn't get anything,
Us on the podcast, I think, are all high on Justin Fields still, right? We all agree that
we think generally
he's better than... I think everyone else I read, everyone's like, he fucking sucks ass and is terrible. And it's I'm like, I don't see that, but maybe I only see... Maybe I'm only seeing the highlights. Like, I don't know. Every time I watch him, he seems like he's pulling off this insanely incredible shit.
I think it's easy to paint him that way because he makes big mistakes. Like,
he does
things that are easy to like play a clip and be like, look at this idiot. He doesn't know what he's doing. But like,
but he's on the Bears and he has to do everything. So maybe I feel like it could be a symptom of like the guy who's trying to do it all because he's the only one who can fucking do anything.
Absolutely. Yes. Yeah, that is 100% what's happening. And he often probably feels the weight of that in his decision making process. And it leads to those sorts of decisions.
Yeah.
Yep.
So it's also the biggest weakness I saw with him was just he goes through his reads really slowly. So like a guy will open up and he doesn't see it, or he, you know, like that type of thing, like progressions. But that's still something that I think you can learn.
And well, yeah, that's a coaching thing. That's a failure of coaching if he's not doing that properly. You know, it's just the skill that it just takes practice and training, you know?
Yeah. So I think he's still got a lot of potential.
He's easily the one with the most potential in his QB
age range.
Of that class, he's the only one left who could still be good.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. What about Trevor Lawrence?
Trevor Lawrence has proven that he's average.
I don't know if he's proven that. I think he's still young.
They're all still young.
I'm still rooting for Trevor Lawrence, but he's just not done. He's just not done it yet.
But I would say outside of Trevor Lawrence, he's the only other one.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. 100%.
Yeah, I was going to say the Steelers are in like a really good but also weirdly really bad position where like we're getting the greatest of deals. We're getting a Super Bowl winning quarterback for free. We're getting a first round drafted quarterback for free. Like two of these things for free. They might both be suck shit, but like
you don't have to pay Justin Fields either, right? Like, he's still on his rookie contract, isn't he?
Final year,
I think so, yeah. So like
he's totally free.
These are two free potential. Well, Russell Wilson is less of a potential, but my point is that that's the good part. Like, that's awesome. That's sick. Right. The bad part is that, it's a fucking potentially just a Band-Aid solution that, you know, won't get us anywhere. And every year we waste is another year TJ Watt gets older and our literal entire defense will collapse once he's gone. So,
I don't know. I know that the common belief is that Russell Wilson is totally washed. But I think this might be Tomlin thinking, okay, I can definitely work with a Super Bowl winning QB in Russell Wilson. He's done that before. And he thinks he's trying to push. I think he's trying to push for the Super Bowl kind of thing.
If Russell Wilson comes out, there's a lot of ifs coming up, so we're going to go through them one by one. Yep. If Russell Wilson comes out and plays to that, like, kind of last year Denver level, which was, like, good but not really impressive. Like, he's good enough, right?
Yeah.
If our holes on offense are filled at center and wide receiver, like, we do not have a center right now, and we have one wide receiver, so, like, if those are also filled, and then our defense, you know, TJ Watt doesn't fucking get injured, then I think we're Super Bowl, could like on the very low end of the Super Bowl contender scale. Like we're on the bottom of that list of teams.
You kept saying wide receiver like Scooby-Doo.
You really need a wide receiver.
That's offensive. That is discriminatory.
You can't even do like Justin Fields packages, right?
Or
you?
Oh,
like,
yeah.
Oh yeah. No, and I think teams should do that more. I ever since I've seen what the Saints did with what's his face Taysom Hill.
Yeah,
I think that's a thing that should be done if it's successful.
As a fan of a team that has done quite a lot of Wildcat in their history,
right?
There are upsides and downsides. If you have a like when we had Brad Smith, it was actually just great because Sanchez would come out, he could take a little break, and Brad Smith would come in and get some positive yardage. It would be a positive morale boost. But then we tried to do it with Tim Tebow, and
So Tebow, brother.
And then what happens is it's just like, why the fuck are we going to Wildcat? This never works, and it just like deflates everything and it just disrupts drives, and that's all it did. So like when it works, it can be great, like the Taysom Hill situation. But when it doesn't, it's horrible.
Yeah.
I do want to take back there's one more if that is probably guaranteed to not be true, so we won't be on that list, but like Arthur Smith has to actually be like a good offensive coordinator and not carried by Derrick Henry, which I don't think will happen, so never mind. but hey, maybe magic happens, you know? Maybe it's a magical little combination, a little soup of ingredients that gets us somewhere. I don't.
Is Tomlin totally hands-off on the offense, or does he get involved at all?
I think he's relatively hands off. He's more of a I don't know. I actually don't know. But from what I've seen, I don't think he has a lot of input there. But I could be wrong.
Fair. Okay. Yeah.
I mean, if Canada was doing what he was doing, then he probably didn't have any input. He just let Canada be shit for 20 games or whatever.
Yeah.
So then we had Titans acquiring L'Jarius Sneed from the Chiefs. Which is honestly pretty good. I mean, L'Jarius needs a good corner. Although I don't really see the Titans doing anything crazy, so I don't.
What are you talking about? They signed Mason Rudolph.
Oh, that's true. Yeah, Will Levis, Mason Rudolph.
Yeah,
I don't know how we can't have them winning the AFC South with those.
Say we don't.
Yeah. and then another big Jets trade. They acquired Hassan Reddick from the Eagles for a 2026 second or third round pick, which honestly is really good. I mean, he had 16 sacks 2 years ago and he had 11 sacks last year.
Yeah, no, I mean, that is. Look, here's what I want to say about it.
All right.
I would like to think that this trade signifies to me that the Jets will be instead focusing on offense in the draft. However, I have been burned many times before.
Yeah.
And I will tell you one thing. We have so many fucking defensive linemen. I think half the team is defensive line. I don't know how they can fit so many defensive linemen on one team, but they do. And, yeah, I mean, it'll be good. He's really good. So, you know, that's good.
Yeah,
it's good. To be seen. But, you know, look, all I'm saying is if we end up, if I hear the New York Jets select Edge, whoever the fuck, I'm going to throw my computer through the wall is all I'm saying.
Well, we can never have too many edge rushers. That's what we like to say. but hey, you know what? The other thing I forgot to mention, Jets signed Tyron Smith, offensive tackle from the Cowboys, I believe.
Yeah. Yeah.
So that's, as long as he's healthy, that's pretty good as well.
Yeah. I mean, I'm glad that he's at least focusing on the O-line in the offseason.
Yeah.
Cause that's been an issue his whole time. By the way, RGM, former O-lineman.
Huh. What do you know? What do you know?
You could possibly be pretending a little bias in the decision-making process.
I would have liked some bias, actually. He didn't. He refused.
And the final big trade we had, which is pretty big.
Big one. This is a big one.
The Texans acquiring Stephon Diggs.
Whoa!
Woo!
For a 2024.
Brother, the Texans hype train starts here, and we're leaving the station. Let's go, Houston.
Yeah. And we're leaving the Bills station, if I'm being honest, too.
Yeah, it's going straight
from Buffalo right down to Texas.
I'm not going to leave the Bills station until Josh Allen is no longer the quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, Josh Allen.
Yeah.
Josh Allen's good at that game.
Josh Allen's just sitting there quietly by himself with a conductor's hat on, just waiting for some people to show up to his birthday party.
I mean, we're hitting, like, Josh Allen's, like, mid-Aaron Rodgers 2015 stage where we had, like, Ladarius Gunter and, like, people you never heard of, and Rodgers just carried them, like, the whole way. Like, he could do that.
Bro, but he Buffalo also lost Gabe Davis, too.
Yeah.
Did they lose Gabe Davis? I was about to say, at least they have Gabe Davis.
They lost their whole team.
Dude, they're fucked. Half their defense is gone. Like, Josh Allen already almost Jameis Winston his touchdown ratio last year. They're fucked next year.
I think they do have a lot of draft picks, though.
I mean, they did get Curtis Samuel, so it's not like they're fully wide receiver core, but
the Bills do have 10 draft picks, so
that's a lot. Yeah, that is quite a lot. Yeah. I mean,
I think, like, how are the Texans not the absolute favorites in that division now? Like, not even close.
Yeah, they gotta be.
They're insane, though. It's kind of crazy. It's gonna be a really good Texan Packers Super Bowl, is all I'm saying. So, and the Stephon Diggs 6th round and a 5th round for the Bills 2025 second rounder, which seems kind of
okay.
Sounded kind of crazy too. Like, I thought it would just be.
I mean, he is getting up there too. He's also what, like 31, right?
Yeah, which is why reality I don't know
checks
why...
for the value of players, man. Like, I really did not expect so many on short sales.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, like with receivers, it is usually they're one of the shorter careers.
Historically,
yeah,
you're like on average or something.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, there are a handful of receivers, like I was saying earlier, that play well into their 30s and play very well the whole time, you know?
Yeah. I mean, there's always outliers. It's like how running backs have a short line. And then you see like Frank Gore or some shit running like 45. Right. You're like, okay.
Yeah.
So I hear Frank Gore's still playing.
Or like Tom Brady or somebody. Like, you can,
yeah.
You probably make the all old team. They could still compete.
Mm-hmm. What I've heard from some old QBs was that they could still play the game. They just can't get hit, because if they get hit, they just can't. They won't recover as well or at all.
We should have an old man clause where if they still have the ability, we can like put them in a bubble or just like, you're not allowed to touch them. You can do two hand touch on those guys.
Do the flags.
Cushion suits.
Some other big signings that happened. We'll speed through these. Saints signed Chase Young.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cool. 49ers signed Josh Dobbs. Good old Josh Dobbs. Okay. Jets signed Mike Williams, another Charger receiver.
That was actually a big one. That one I feel pretty happy about.
Yeah,
honestly.
That's pretty good.
He's a solid wide receiver. He didn't really play at all last year, but
he's another
he was on my fantasy team, so he died.
If he's healthy, he's good. He's another one of those.
Yeah. I think and if Aaron Rodgers is playing,
yes.
And then I think Mike Williams and him would do well together.
Yeah. I think so, especially when you have what's his name as the main receiver.
You think Aaron Rodgers is going to come out with the American flag again?
Please, God, no. Yeah,
that'd be so funny if we
just come out with a pirate flag instead. Like, this time.
Who's the Jet? Garrett Wilson. We got Garrett Wilson, number one.
And
they got,
right.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's a pretty good one, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah. And then Tre'Davious White signed with the Rams. Jadeveon Clowney signed with the Panthers. Mm-hmm. Jimmy Garoppolo to the Rams. And
yeah, that makes sense, actually.
Maybe the biggest signing of the offseason right here. The Chiefs signing Carson Wentz, 1-year deal.
Oh, boy.
Yep.
Masterful.
Masterful. So
is he the backup then?
You know, I think he might be pushing for the starting gig. You never know.
No, I mean, like, do they have someone else behind? I don't know.
I don't think so. No.
Okay. Yeah. I don't know.
If they're into the backup territory, they've already lost. So it's just kind of like. Although, yeah. What's his name carried him in the playoffs that 1 year? Chase Daniel? Is it Chase Daniel?
Maybe. Yeah.
Somebody. It was against the Browns. That's what I remember.
Yeah. I vaguely remember that. Yeah.
So there we go. That's all the big signings, free agents, trades that we've seen. There's some others, but whatever. This is a professional show. Oh, the other big one, AJ Dillon, 1 year, $2 million. Last time we had the show, it broke, and I was like, no, we re-signed him. But hey, you know what? $2 million, that's fine. I'll take AJ Dillon back for $2 million.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
So, folks, NFL draft. It's here, and there's a lot of quarterback stuff happening. You've got, mm-hmm. I think, maybe like 5 or 6 quarterbacks in the first 1 to 2 rounds.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
There's a lot. And so Rob has, as he does, went mm-hmm. over and looked over all these quarterbacks. But again, I too have also went over all these quarterbacks. So now.
Yep.
We're gonna go and see you know how our boards differ, right?
Yeah, that'll be interesting. This is gonna be like you know what they do on ESPN.
Yeah,
one of us
what
is Mel Kiper.
What the fuck are you talking about, man? I don't know
what you mean.
No.
He's a bum.
Let me tell you right now.
I'm so mad.
Yeah, you could be Mel Kiper, and I'll be literally anyone else.
Well, who's the other guy? They got
Todd McShay,
that was their.
I think?
Yeah, that's the one. Yeah.
Yeah. I think Todd McShay is pretty good. All right. So let's start with you. All right. You're the master of this.
Okay. Okay. Well, I reviewed or I analyzed rather mm-hmm. reviewed like a fine wine. I analyzed the top 5 as far as I could see QBs. So
the fragrances on this Caleb Williams are divine.
So very good, yeah. So I did Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, J.J. McCarthy, and Michael Penix Jr.
What did right. you call him?
Michael Penix Jr. Yep. It is going to be pronounced that way from now on. I just want you to know.
Yep.
So my takes on Caleb Williams, who is expected to go first, right? As
and
far as I know,
more than expected.
Yeah,
pretty
much a sure thing.
They already gave him a jersey or whatever, you know. Like,
did they actually?
No. But they, all right. Like,
they may as well have. It's happening.
Well, we'll see. A lot of times, I saw someone else say something about how at this time of year. Oh, it was Bill Belichick, actually. I think it was Bill Belichick. He came out and said that at this time of year, all of the news stories about draft position are entirely from the media. You only learn about stories from teams the day of, basically.
Yeah.
Yeah, but Robert Kraft said that guy was a liar. So,
that's
a fair point. Really. Dude, the deterioration of like the goodwill that the Patriots had towards Bill Belichick is so rapid. Yes, we can talk about that, but like they've been like going after each other.
It is hilarious, actually.
Robert Kraft is such a huge fucking piece of shit.
Yeah. He really is.
Yeah.
Much like many of the owners.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, feels like all, I would say. Actually, they're all
not
the Packers. That's a good point. Good point.
We're having fun.
Anyway, I want to preempt this as I usually do every year by saying that I have no idea what I'm talking about. So, you know, take everything that I say with a grain of salt because I'm a
major selling point of our show. I think.
Pretty much. Yeah.
We never
but,
do.
You know, to be especially clear, because, you know, I don't like being critical directly necessarily of a person,
and
especially
we don't have,
not a,
like,
a young man coming
to,
out of
like sit down with them in a room and ask them questions right. and like all this stuff that they do.
Yeah, yeah. So I feel bad, but it's also for fun and they'll yeah. never fucking hear it. So whatever. Yeah. My conclusions, I'll just jump to my conclusion on Caleb Williams. I graded him. Oh, by the way, did you give them grades, Crendor?
I did not grade them, but I did give them an A.
You piece of shit.
What is wrong with you?
I didn't rank them.
My God.
On a board.
Okay. All right. That's pretty good. So Caleb Williams, I had at an A-/B+.
Okay.
I said he seems solid in all the areas you want. He's got good arm strength, accuracy, running ability, technique. He has an improvisational streak, which leads to some highlight plays. He's primarily a thrower. He'd prefer to roll out than run, scramble, you could say, only choosing to run in very open lanes. Problem areas are throwing across his body on a bootleg, as I watched him do multiple times across two games. It'll lead to picks at the professional level. Ball security also seems like a major issue, but you know
that'll
that's
be great for
thing.
The Bears.
Oh yeah, 100%.
They're not used to that.
He at one point I watched him fumble untouched. When he went back to throw, he just fumbled it.
Yeah.
So he's got a habit of retreating from the pocket and kind of forcing pressure on himself. Not always, but he sometimes, often does it. Which can be a problem. And sometimes he can also react to pressure that isn't really there, you know, which is
bust.
I'm going
to rate all these quarterbacks based on Rob's ratings and say if they are bust or going to be good. Now what you've said to me, Caleb Williams, bust.
Well, yeah, basically there's one specific play that I remember seeing. I think it was in the Rose Bowl, right?
Right.
Where he was just retreating on a four-man rush. Like no one was getting through, but he was backpedaling the whole time and it led to him throwing off his back foot. And it's just one of those things that, again,
that's the one
it's
where
experience
he,
and coachable.
He like lobs it over the middle and it gets picked, right?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah. That's one of those things are potentially coachable. So it's not necessarily a bad thing. And like I said, he's solid in all the other areas. Like he's almost like a prototypical QB in that way, in that he's fast. He's not super fast, but he's fast and he doesn't run all that much, but he's got pretty good vision when he does. And he's got good arm strength. He can hit all the throws you want, you know, but he just does have a couple of problem areas that I think would be worrying at a higher level, which is why I put him at an A-/B+.
Yeah. Right. And what school did he play for again, Rum?
USC. Yeah. Yeah. See, and I want to preempt
USC it. Later. You know what I'm saying? Like,
I want to give a post-claimer to that other thing, which is also, I have a little bit of a bias against USC QBs. I don't believe in them. So I tried to not let it factor into my... into my analysis, but I, you know, I'm only human, of course. So yeah. maybe I went a little harshly on him. I don't know. How did you come out?
So you also were asking about my method.
Yes.
This, right?
Yeah.
So I don't like to just watch highlights because to me, highlights is like, here's what they do well. So
agreed.
What I do is I pick a few games, like some it looks like they did well. I try to find like actual competitive teams, not like they're playing like Ass Clown State and you're like, oh wow, he put up like 800 yards. Like actual competitive games.
I went to Ass Clown State.
Sorry. And then I go throw every throw they've made. So like I just watch and then I just kind of skim through and watch like every throw they make. And that usually gives you like a pretty good like picture of what you're doing.
Based on that, because you seem that's basically what I do. I've got a much easier system than what you do.
Right.
I just type their name into YouTube and the word versus after that. And what you will get are videos where it's Caleb Williams, every throw versus Oregon.
Okay. Yeah.
And it'll just have a cut together clip section, so you don't have to do it manually.
That's what I did. That's what I meant.
Oh, okay. I thought you said you were scrubbing through the games and seeing every.
I would do that. I meant like I was scrubbing through the every throw they make in that game, and then I would see like him throw it in like the aftermath, and be like, "All right, skip. Okay, next throw." Like I'd.
Brendo is reading the Cliff's Notes of the Cliff's Notes, is what he's saying.
I see. Okay. All right.
Because I was like genuinely curious. Everyone's like, "This dude's insane," and he was like, "I based my game off Aaron Rodgers." That's what he kept saying. Aaron Rodgers is his favorite player growing up, which is funny because he's going to the Bears.
That's also what Sam Darnold said.
That's also funny. And so I'm like, listen, I think as somebody who's watched Aaron Rodgers for half my lifetime, I know a bit about Aaron Rodgers, all right?
Mm-hmm.
And I can see some Aaron Rodgers in him, good and bad, okay? Mm-hmm. So he is very overly reliant on his athletic ability. And that leads to him playing hero ball. And some people are like, oh, he plays hero ball because his line's bad. I saw numerous times where his line held up. He had an open receiver, and he did not throw it to them.
He had one of the better lines, I thought, of the teams that I looked at today.
Yeah, I didn't think his line was as bad as people made it out to be, like, especially if you're going to the NFL, where he's going to a team that just said, if as long as Justin Fields gets a better line and some weapons, he'll be good. Like, that's not a good place to be going then. There was three times, okay? You know how you have your blind side with your left tackle, right? Mm. There were three times I watched him get sacked by his right tackle. Like, the side he's supposed to see. And he just, like, doesn't see him. I'm like, where is he? It's like he's got blinders on. And I was like, but he's, like, so athletically gifted that he would, like, be like, bleh, and do the, like, scramble out and then, like, run or do some crazy throw, like, sidearm, which I'm like, holy shit, how'd he do that, right? So I can see where people are like, wow, he's got the arm talent. He's got all this, like, you know, he makes the crazy throws. The problem is, once he gets away from that, it doesn't look very good. Like, he holds onto the ball too long. That's another Aaron Rodgers special where it's like, take the check down. And he's like, nah. And then it's like, what about the guy cutting across the middle for like 5 yards? Like, nah, let's go 25 yards downfield. Then he like misses it. And I'm like, the amount of times I was just like, just throw it to the check down. It's like,
I really like thinking about Aaron Rodgers on the field, literally looking at reads and going, nah.
Dude, oh my God. It was literally, especially the last couple years, he was like real bad at hero ball. He would like have Lazard on a post wide open. And he's like, where's Adams? There he is, triple covered, fucking 40-yard bomb. It's no good.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing? And so that's one of my worries with him is he's, like, overly reliant on the hero ball. He struggled very heavily against good defenses. Like, he was confused. He was, like, he lacked awareness. But he would still kind of make plays happen with his legs. But it's, like, you can't just do that at the NFL level. And so, to me, he feels like a project. I know people are just like, he's coming out. But, like, to me, it feels like he needs to sit at least 1 year.
I actually pretty
much concur.
That's
not going to happen.
That's not going to happen. But it feels like he even gave me, like, a little Jordan Love vibes. Because it felt like, I was like, yeah, Jordan Love needs to sit and learn. I listened to Jordan Love be like, yeah, the best thing that happened to me was, like, sitting and learning behind all these guys and learning all this stuff. Like, it feels like he's got a lot of bad tendencies and he's got all the talent. And usually that's like, it becomes boom or bust potential at that point, which is why I think it's so worrying.
Can I build on what you said? Cause I forgot. Mm-hmm. I wanted to mention this too. I've heard now, I mean, I can see that in mock drafts, like QBs are going to fly off the board in this one.
Mm-hmm.
But, overall, I don't know if you feel the same way. I don't think this is a very strong QB draft.
There's one guy I like. And,
yeah, there's one guy I like too.
And then Caleb Williams to me is like, he can be unbelievably good or he could be terrible. Like, I can kind of see that now after watching a lot of his games.
Mm-hmm.
Because, like, when he makes a good throw, like, when he makes one of those, like, off-balance, crazy, over his head, like, that, you're just like, holy shit, how did he do that?
Thrown across your body from the other side of the field,
Mm-hmm. But then, the next play, he'll just, like, miss guys completely open or, like, try to bomb it, and his deep ball accuracy is, like, okay. You know, he can do it, but it's kind of inconsistent. And it's just like he misses a lot of things, awareness. Like he tries to, you know, scramble too much with hero ball and misses things, which again, coaching can fix. But my issue is it's the Bears.
Yeah.
And they did bring in that guy who's from Seattle that like helped Geno Smith. So like that is at least something. It's better than the previous Bears regime. But I'm still like, let's see this guy play some games before we start being like he's the next greatest thing. So yeah, that's what I thought.
Yeah. Yeah. I mostly concur. What did you guys think, Bear and Apollo, in your analysis?
Well, I wasn't going to mention it, but of course these guys are really just basing all their analysis off of the extensive library of footage and data and information that I provided in my hard work in the... No, I don't have any opinion.
Bear's hard at work at our stats man just outside the podcast studios.
I do.
Here in sunny Los Angeles.
I did want to say, I think people are just so enamored by his like flashy potential. I think that's people see Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers do all these throws. Honestly, Jordan Love makes these throws too now. Like he did numerous ones in the playoff game against Dallas where he's throwing off his back foot, doing lasers, sidearm throws. And like that's good to be able to do it, but you need the fundamentals. And that's like if he can get the fundamentals down and kind of unlearn the college stuff that they taught him in the whatever Lincoln Riley or whatever his system is, like that's going to be the biggest thing on whether he's successful or not.
Yeah, so. I mostly concur. Yeah, I think he has areas that he needs to be coached up. I don't think he's a number one overall type of prospect, in my opinion.
Yeah, I think he's number one based on talent, but I don't think he's number one based on the entire package.
I just mean in like general draft years most of the time. But anyway, we should move on to Jaden Daniels.
All right.
And Jaden Daniels from LSU. My conclusion on him, I put him at an A/A-. He is my highest ranked QB. I'll say he has great speed and quickness and a cannon arm. He's a bit of a gunslinger and will throw into tight coverage, even double or triple coverage. You know, with mixed success. Excellent runner with a large frame that's hard to bring down. Great straight line speed. Tends to be a one read and run kind of offense, which maybe could make adjusting to the higher level difficult. He's got a great O-line in college. And they're regularly opening holes for him and keeping the pocket mostly clean. So he's staying in there for quite some time at points. However, when things break down, he does show a good ability to improvise with his legs. His skill set is the kind you see out of superstar rookies, is what I want to say about him, is that all of his physical attributes are the kinds of things that can translate directly into first-year success, which is part of the reason why I'm ranking him so highly. Mm-hmm. So I think with a good play caller and coach, he can become a very effective starting QB. However, I do think he's the type of QB that would need that needs like a little bit of work, a little bit of time in the tank, you know, a little bit more training, a little bit more experience. So if he's in an unstable situation, a chaotic one, perhaps, say, then I'm not sure that I would count on him to excel. So, yeah, that's my take on Jaden Daniels.
Okay.
And now to coach.
So I'm not as high on Jaden Daniels.
Ah, interesting.
So I do agree with a lot of what you said. You know, he did have a good team. He even had Malik Nabers, who's like one of the best receivers in the draft. Mm. And, you know, he is really good. And to me, like, if he gets coached up, like we said, and everything, like, he can be a Lamar Jackson style player. But to me, he kind of just reminds me of like a skinny Justin Fields. And it's there's times where he's just like a little too inaccurate. He's a little too slow on the processing of everything. His release is really slow. And the biggest thing that worries me is he takes like insane hits. Like he doesn't slide.
Yeah.
There was one, he scrambled. He got like three-way slammed. And I was like, holy Christ. Like, I don't know how he got up. And you can't do that. So I'm like,
his frame, he looks like he's got the size of Josh Allen, but not the like weight.
Yeah.
And that's what he needs, honestly.
Yeah. For yeah, that's probably runs. Like a skinny Josh Allen style. It's
yeah.
So either he's got to bulk up or just like get rid of that like contact and just take the slide. But like I definitely see the talent there, especially in the modern NFL where, you know, it's having a fast athletic quarterback can be pretty crazy. So, yeah, but, you know, I think he's good. I would probably put him more at like the B plus range.
Where did you rank him? Where does he in your ranks?
I put him third.
Okay.
Yeah. Which probably leads you to where I think number two is.
Yeah, probably. Should we move on to the next guy?
Yeah, we move on to the next guy now.
Drake May.
Yeah.
Is the next QB that I scouted. I ranked him at a B minus. I wrote tale of two QBs on this one, some consistency issues. He's got great physical traits and skills. He's big, he's fast, he's got a strong arm. He does have some accuracy problems, and I did see him struggling on even on open checkdowns at times. He doesn't really have the greatest ball best vision as a ball carrier. He can shoot through gaps really quickly, but he doesn't exactly have the agility to do anything else besides barrel into whoever's in front of him. His footwork is inconsistent, and especially on the run, he can get himself into bad situations with how he releases. However, what I will say is he does seem to have the worst supporting cast of the teams that I looked at so far. And now that I finished it, yeah, probably all of the ones that I saw, at least his on the O-line, especially because he was constantly under pressure. I think he's going to need, I think he's a project QB, but he's got all the physical tools, you know, and he's also already kind of used to facing a lot of pressure in the pocket, which if he ends up going high is probably a good trait because he'll go to a team that's shitty. Right. Yeah. So him having experience with that kind of thing and still excelling in it. Might translate to positive things on the higher level.
Yeah.
I was just quickly jump in and say it's funny that you guys keep saying that these are all project QBs because like the top three, like Bears, Commanders, Patriots, none of those teams have QBs right now.
Exactly.
So yeah. the top three good. Picks are not going to be project QBs. They are going to be starters.
Well, yeah, no, I mean, that's the thing, right? Like that's how I view it is that he looks to me like a project kind of guy, but yes, you're right. He's going to be absolutely one starter.
We're not accounting for like we don't know if the Cardinals and Chargers will trade away their picks, but if the Vikings jump in or the Raiders jump in or any other team seeking quarterback jumps in, then yeah, it's going to be, I don't know.
It would be a much better situation for them.
Well, no, I'm just saying that there's so many teams with a hole at quarterback draft. Mm-hmm. So you guys are saying it's not a good quarterback or it's not a particularly good quarterback draft. I don't think it matters. There's so many teams that do not have a starting quarterback right now.
True. Yeah.
I mean, even at that, there's probably some of these guys that would still do better than whatever. Like for example, if one of these guys went to the Broncos, they'd still probably be better than whatever the Broncos put out.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, there's some low bars right now.
Yeah, the bar is like that low.
Well, and the other thing too is like, you know, part of what I think about when I'm writing like my conclusion bit is like what kind of team they could potentially be going to. And like some of these guys, if they were going to like all of these dudes that I just talked about, if they went late in the draft to a good team, right? And they sat all of them, they would be better for it. I think all of them. And they all have great physical abilities. So, you know, they've got first rounder physical abilities, but so far, in my opinion, yeah, like a lot of them are very raw.
Like a lot of people forget too. Alex Smith was in front of Patrick Mahomes for a year. Like mm-hmm. he didn't start right away. He sat for a year. Plus he was with Andy Reid. So like you that's pretty helpful.
That's a perfect situation. Yeah.
Getting to learn and having an insane offensive coach. Like mm-hmm. so that's why you never know. It all depends on the situation they get thrown into as well. I mean, Jordan Love's probably not as good as he is right now mm-hmm. if he doesn't have the situation he falls into.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like 100%.
Having a supportive structure, a stable structure, you know, like again, with like the Packers, he stayed with the same people the whole time.
Yeah.
You know,
same playbook.
Mm-hmm. That's only going to help dudes, you know, coming out of college. It's not going to be helpful when they go into a chaotic environment like the Jets or the Bears. Yeah. You know?
Like I was watching an interview today with Jordan Love on Cam Newton's podcast, and Cam Newton was straight up like, what was the best thing you learned from sitting? And he was like, the consistency it takes to be an NFL quarterback. And mm-hmm. he was like, you would come in every day and I'd be like, you know, I'm used to this. I show up and do, but he's like watching Aaron Rodgers come in and just do the same shit like every day, make the same throws, never miss throws. He would like go through the same routine. And you're like, wow, like this is what I need to do to be this good. And so he was like, I took that like to heart, and he's like, that's what helped me the most. So like, you never know like what you learn from just sitting there and then getting used to like your teammates and the playbook, like everything. So
yeah,
it really does benefit like a quarterback that's willing to listen and actually learn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, 100%.
But Drake May is, I think, the closest to starting out of all the guys. I personally think so. Like he looked the most like pocket passer NFL quarterback style. I called him like a Justin Herbert or like a chaotic Matt Ryan. Like he just has that same frame. He's big. He's got a good arm. He can make all the throws. I think he actually had the best deep ball accuracy out of everybody. It was like something like 70 something percent on the deep ball.
Yeah. No, you know what? I wrote down actually in my notes that he struggles on medium and short stuff, but he was better on the deep ball.
Yeah. Which is kind of weird, like good on the deep ball, but not short, but yeah, it does. And I think that's more of a footwork issue. And I think out of all the issues, I think footwork issues are probably the most coachable. Mm-hmm. So that's why. And he just, to me, he just looked like he was ready to play in the NFL. Like obviously he probably wouldn't, you know, start. I wouldn't want him to start right away, but I feel like he's the most like he has the highest floor. That's what I'm trying to say, I think. So like I feel like he will, at least even if he's bad, he'll at least be a like career backup or something. Like I could see that happening. But while someone else like Caleb Williams I think has a higher ceiling but a lower floor. So I think if I was going to take one of these guys, if I wanted somebody that can like fit right in right away, I'd probably just take Drake May. So that's kind of how it felt. I may be completely wrong.
Fair. Wait, is he your number one rank?
I put him and Caleb Williams in the same rank, and I said depending on the situation, like if you want to have a developmental situation, I would take Caleb Williams and have him sit for a year. And then if I wanted a starter situation, I'd be more comfortable with Drake May.
Okay.
Yeah.
Fair.
Yeah. And that was them in their own tier. And then I put Daniels right below them, like not even that far below, but like he's right below. And then next up is JJ McCarthy.
Yep. JJ McCarthy. Yeah. My grade on him is a B-/C+. I said, well, I just want to mention one of my notes was bootlegs are too deep. I noticed on him every time he ran a bootleg, he would go backwards at least like 10, 15 yards.
Yeah.
And like, that's going to be a problem. Like you gotta go a little bit more lateral with your bootlegs, man. You know, you're going to run into some issues. But anyway, I wrote, seems like a great runner. He has got great physical skills, needs a lot of work on decision-making and accuracy. Footwork looks clean and consistent, but he tends to stare down his target, usually only one read from what I was seeing. He's got a quick release on the football, which will be an advantage at the higher level. Not great at evading pressure when the pocket collapses, but it's important to note that he was facing pressure on almost every play that I watched. He seems like a gifted athlete, but a project QB. If he's not expected to start right away, he's got the physical ability to become a great QB. Backing up someone like Lamar or Josh Allen would be ideal, in my opinion. So, yeah.
Yeah, I can see that. I think I wrote down good at everything, but not great. Jack of all trades guy, master of none. Mm-hmm. And he just seemed like everything he did is like, he's pretty good at that. But there was nothing where I was like, wow, his arm's insane, or wow, this is insane. It was just kind of, I think a lot of people see him as like that winner guy. Like, he just wins, man. Right. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, he might be a little too average to carry a team, but he's one of those guys, again, if he develops like maybe like one or two of his like okay traits and the good traits, like I could see him being pretty good.
Yeah. Yeah, for sure. I agree.
Yeah. Like, I know a lot of comps have him going to or drafts have him go to like Minnesota, which I think Minnesota would actually be a good situation for him. Like, it's not a bad team. They have Jefferson there. You have good, you have Addison there. So he'd have things, people to throw to. So like, that wouldn't be a bad situation.
The Tankathon has him going at 6 to the Giants.
I don't know about the Giants. Well,
yeah.
I mean, I can see them doing it, but I don't think it would be good for them.
Yeah, yeah, I agree.
Yeah, and I looked at all the comps for players too. I saw people comping him like he could be Kirk Cousins, he could be Brock Purdy, he could be Daniel Jones, and I was like, these are like all completely different players. So I don't know how they're coming up with these, but yeah, no, like, he's okay. I don't think he doesn't have as much like star power potential. But sometimes you don't need that. Sometimes you just need that like game manager guy. So
yeah,
and I think that's what I see him becoming if he, you know, grows into it.
Mm-hmm.
So
yeah, I agree.
Yeah. And then we had Michael Penix, as you say.
Yes, Michael Penix Jr.
There's also Bo Nix, which you didn't watch, but I watched a little bit.
Yeah, I stopped there. I did write them. I wrote down 5 other names in case I wanted to go further, but I didn't.
Yeah, I'll do a quick Bo Nix one for you. I thought he was, you know, because he had pretty good stats, but I thought he had a lot of overthrows. Like 30% of his passes were behind the line of scrimmage, so like the Chicago Bear 2023 special,
right?
And he was another like game manager style type of guy. It looked like I saw Tony Romo compared to him, which I was like, yeah, he does kind of look like a poor man's Tony Romo for now. Like, oh no, he's okay. He's like a, you know, if you're looking for like maybe a second round, third round quarterback, you take him. But I wouldn't go any higher than that.
Fair.
Yeah. Michael Penix.
Michael Penix Jr. Penix Jr. So I put him at a B+B, which that should rank him pretty highly for me. I don't remember. Yeah, I don't know where. I think that's above. Yeah, he's above Drake May for me.
Wow. Yeah.
So I wrote old school style QB. He's mostly a pocket passer. He has some accuracy concerns on deep throws, but he's got a strong arm. His footwork is best in the class. It remains consistent despite adverse circumstances. He's not Peyton slow, but he's not that fast. But he does have the ability to pick up some yards on the ground with designed runs due to his large frame. He scans the whole field when he throws and makes use of every second the O-line gives him. And he seems to have one of the better O-lines that I watched. He's solid, although a bit unexciting. He excels at dinking and dunking to march down the field, and he's got a strong enough arm to threaten deep routes. He can be slippery in the pocket, but you shouldn't expect big runs when the plays break down with any regularity. On a team with a good line, I think he can excel. The Steelers, I thought, would be a good fit, actually.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I
thought he'd be a good fit there.
I agree with that. I thought he had a good arm. The things that worried me were, like you said, he's much worse outside the pocket. He's like very much a pocket passer.
Yeah.
and it seems like the pressure gets to him. A lot of times when he'd get pressured, he would just make really bad throws from what I saw. Like it just, it would definitely throw him off. So I can just see teams like just bringing pressure every play on him. And then, you know, until he learns how to deal with it, just kind of being not great. But the other thing that concerned me was he apparently tore his ACL twice.
Oh, I did not know that.
Yeah, I didn't either. And I read that and I was like, oh, that's not good. So
yeah, that's well, he can't tear it anymore, right?
Yeah.
Like he got rid of both of them.
Yeah, if you tear it a third time, you disintegrate into dust. That's the rule.
It's like pulling the ripcord.
Yeah. Yeah, I could see him as like maybe a late first, early second type of guy. Like a team that needs a quarterback taking a flyer on him. I could like looking at a lot of teams here, I'd maybe say like if the Vikings don't go quarterback early, maybe they take him late, or like the Raiders, the Broncos, like one of those teams I could see.
Yeah, I think he would be good, you know, if he went, if the, you see, I don't know. Yeah, I don't think anybody, oh, actually Mock Draft has the Vikings taking Michael Penix.
Oh.
Yeah.
Huh.
And yeah, I mean, yeah, the Vikings, that would be pretty good. He's not going to start there, right?
Or he, Sam Darnold's the starter. So.
Right. Okay. So they'll have a bridge in Sam Darnold. Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, he probably is one of the people that's going to benefit from going to one of those teams where he can at least sit for a bit in a good system rather than go to like Washington.
He'll be interesting because like you do. I don't know, modern NFL, if you're a QB, you got to be able to run, and he really is not much of a runner, so it'll be interesting seeing how he pans out.
Yeah. So, yeah, those are the main guys. I mean, overall, I think, you know, I mean, they're pretty good, and I think some of them are definitely going to be starting NFL quarterbacks. It's just a matter of how long it'll take them to get to the next level. Right.
All right. Like, so I've got my evaluations for your evaluations in here.
Oh, okay.
You two ranked. I've also assigned you both a letter grade.
Okay.
Okay. So, thank you. Thank you.
Who wants to hear it first?
Yeah, you can go with me.
I'll go with Krendor. All right. So Krendor, I got you at a C- this year, unfortunately. I was a little underwhelmed by the quantity
Draft grades
of prospects that were evaluated. You know, I felt like you shared a lot of opinions with Rob through the course of this one, not too much variation. So I went a little bit more average. Rob, I gave you an A+ this year.
Oh, thank you.
You really knocked it out of the park, you know, like definitely rank one of two in the overall standings. So good job, buddy. Well played.
I appreciate that. And the check's in the mail. You got expecting it soon.
I really don't trust the Bear sources I'm getting these information grades from. They haven't had good mock drafts.
And what was my grade?
Oh, yeah, you got an incomplete.
Wow.
Better luck next time, bud.
The test.
What the fuck? I mean, when you go to Asklan University, what do you really expect?
That's true.
Sorry.
That's the same energy I was giving for sure.
Right, yeah.
For...
I wonder why our mascot was Bozo the Ass Clown.
To be fair, people love Bozo. So the fun part about this draft for me, like looking at the grand picture now, is there's those quarterbacks. Then there's also like the top receivers, which are like Marvin Harrison Jr., Malik Nabers, and Roma Dunze, who are all expected to also go in the top 10. So the top 10 is going to be like 3 to 4 quarterbacks and like 2 to 3 wide receivers.
Yeah.
So it's kind of insane.
Centers drop, baby.
Yeah. And then after that, it's like, then the actual draft begins. And
yeah,
there's a, I think a good amount of depth in this draft as well, to be honest.
I did not look into it at all, as I never do. However, I do. Yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, yeah, me personally, I think this is I think teams are going to be. I don't think this is as strong a QB draft that should warrant 3 QBs going in the top 10. is what
right.
I would say.
Yeah, yeah. Again, I think that's more just a sign of what the state of the NFL is right now.
Yeah.
So the
yeah.
top three people drafting don't have a QB. So it will be three QBs in the first three.
Yep. Like it could very much be the, you know, the Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson draft all over again. Right. Is that the was that the draft with what's his name? The 49ers,
Jones, Trey Lance. Justin Fields, Trey Lance.
Yeah. Did you say Dirk Nacho?
What?
I said Mac Jones, Justin Fields. Are you okay?
Well, no, but I do want to ask.
It's like a Madden.
Can I use Dirk Nacho as a character name?
Dirk Nacho.
Dirk Nacho.
That's outstanding. I like that a lot.
So we really don't know that much about all the other draft prospects, honestly. Like I hear things, but
or the ones that we talked about either.
Or the but I know more about the ones
or
we talked about.
Really at all.
Yeah,
I at least really watched
struggle with basic survival. Honestly, on
I
a
at least watched
basis,
the ones we talked about play games. So I have that going for me, unlike everybody else.
Yep.
So I figured we'd wrap this up by just talking about what you want your team to do. Like, what do you want them to draft? What do you want them to trade up, trade down,
disband,
etc. So let's start.
Free me from this eternal misery.
Let's start with Rob. Rob, aside from eternal black hole death, where are you looking?
I am hopeful that the Jets forget that there's a word called defense and never pick a defender ever again. But I would settle for focusing on the offense at the very least in the draft. So I don't know if specific position wise, you know, it'd be great to have a Nick Mangold type lineman that is draftable, but I don't think those come along very often,
right?
So ideally something like that, or if not, wide receiver, tight end, something like that. I see mock draft has us drafting a gentleman named Brock Bowers. He seems to be the first tight end off the board according to Tankathon.
Yep.
So sure. That sounds good. Yeah, offense. I would be happy with offense. So, that's where I'm at, basically. Except, right. You know what? Hold on. Before the monkey's paw or the genie fucking curses me here, not a fullback.
What a long snapper, Rob. How's that? Yeah.
Just like, with the 10th overall pick, the Jets select fullback. Who is there even one in the draft?
I don't even
is there even one
is.
Scouted?
Right.
That's like not even a position that outside of like the 49ers.
Yeah.
Like Kyle Juszczyk or whatever. Like I can't think of another one.
Yeah. Juszczyk.
Yeah. Packers used to have Will Henderson. He was good. And Kyle.
There was there was that one other guy that was popular, right? In some team.
We had John Kuhn.
John Kuhn?
Kuhn was one. There was, Mike Alstott was a fullback back in the day.
Yep.
He's a notable fullback. This is a fun position. Maybe we bring back fullbacks.
Yeah.
Well, it'd be a lot more running.
That's true.
Oh, yeah. Wasn't it Tolbert?
Maybe.
Or was he a running back?
He's a running back.
I think he was a running back.
He was he could have been a fullback.
Yeah, he had a fullback build.
Yeah.
Well, there are because it is weird because the fullback position is basically gone. However, the fullback position situationally isn't, in the sense that like they'll run someone at fullback, usually a running back, on a play. Like if it's if they're in a specific formation or something, what I mean?
Like we've had AJ Dillon line up at that spot, and you're just like, yeah, he's big, he can block.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah,
so. Yeah, that makes sense. Apollo, Steelers?
Center is a big hole.
Everybody wants a center. Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Large hole. I think right tackle is what we're also looking. Because we have Broderick Jones, who we drafted as a left tackle, and we just decided we're going to play him fucking right tackle. Because whatever. And so it'd be nice to put him on left tackle where he's supposed to be and get a right tackle. I might be mixing those up, but it's the same concept. Yeah. Wide receiver is obviously a big one. We don't have any except for George Pickens. He's pretty much our only one right now. Yeah. Not good.
Yep.
I think we still have Calvin Austin the third, who I actually think is nice. He's a nice speedster. And then cornerback. We scored last year on cornerback, but we were so low on cornerback, we still need another one. So yeah, those are the three positions. I don't want to see literally anything else because we're a team that has very specific needs. I don't care how good like a defensive tackle is or a I'm trying to think of other positions like a safety or something. Go to get the thing we need and then we'll move from there. We'll draft from there, you know?
Yeah.
Because that's just, we created these huge holes, not little holes where we had a bad center last year. This year we have a no center. Like we don't have them anymore. So
there's just a big hole there.
There's a hole there that needs to be filled.
We really got to get all the landscaping company, but yeah. No one in the Steelers building is on it.
I like that. I feel like it does make the job a little bit easier, though, because I'm hoping they can push out the noise and like just target those three slots essentially.
Yeah. I don't even know who you cheer for anymore. Who do you
Well, I mean, okay, so I was going to evaluate the Patriots draft pick I were a real analyst, and then I decided, nah, I don't really care anymore. So instead. I just decided to base it on like what might get me to care again about the team. Like what we could do here. Okay. So I think I narrowed it down. I think really the only two people that the Patriots could draft a quarterback and get me to watch again would probably be Andre 3000.
Okay.
if he gets to bring his flute out onto the field, I would enjoy that a lot.
That'd be great.
Right.
Or Greta Thunberg. I think would be my second choice for sure. Bold. Because I would love to see her perform in that role. I don't know how well she'd do, but I would watch. I'll tell you that much.
Absolutely,
that would be great to watch.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's about it.
Well, the Packers. We have 11 draft picks. We have 25. Then we have the Jets' second round number 9. Then we have our 26. Then we have a third rounder. Then we have Buffalo's third rounder, a fourth rounder. We have 2 sixths, 2 sevenths, a fifth. We got a lot. I guarantee we're going to trade to move up at some point.
Because with 11 picks. Yeah.
Silly not to.
Yeah. So, funnily enough, this is the one year where I'm like, guys, I hope we draft defense because the offense is like set. Like, I'm so used to being like, can we please get some receivers for Aaron Rodgers? Can we please get some weapons? And now I'm like, this is great. We like shredded Dallas. We competed with 49ers. Like, we're looking good. We got chemistry. We got Josh Jacobs. Like, fantastic. We need like one or two offensive linemen for like one starter, one depth. But usually the Packers they're like the Steelers of offensive linemen. We'll get some guy in like the fourth round and he's like a Pro Bowler. And they're just like, hey, it's good. They just coach him up.
Well, worked out.
Yeah. So that's our strength. That and quarterback, that obviously.
Nice.
But we need a safety. We signed Xavier McKinney from the Giants, who's very good, but we don't have a safety at the other spot. So ideally a safety. We need a corner because we have Jair Alexander, the Valentines, and that's it. There's also Eric Stokes, who used to be good, but he's been injured like every year. So a corner, a safety, a hybrid corner safety, just literally anything. Anybody knows how to cover anybody. A defensive lineman would be great. We need anybody knows how to stop the run. If you know how to stop the run, I don't even care if they can pass rush.
Give them a call.
Just stop the run. It's so annoying. We made
Please,
Tommy
stop
DeVito.
Stop that run.
Tommy DeVito looked like fucking Lamar Jackson. All right. So just anybody knows how to stop the run. And then linebacker, because now we're going to a 4-3 base. So Quay Walker's really good, and that's all we got. So just any other linebackers would be great. And then, like, I guess maybe a kicker would be great so that we can, like, make a field goal when it matters and then, you know, go to the NFC Championship game would be nice. Or, you know, not have him miss 8 extra points throughout the year. That would also be nice. And then I'd like a fourth or fifth round running back. As well. That's really it.
You're
it's just
asking
defense.
Santa for a lot this year.
Yeah,
but we got a lot of draft picks. All right.
Yeah.
So mainly just anybody that plays defense, and then a mid-round running back and a lineman, offensive lineman. In fact, I think I would go first overall pick offensive lineman, and then just all defense after that. So that's kind of what I'm hoping. But we will see on Thursday when we live stream
Thursday.
And get to... Oh, wait, by the way, we didn't even talk about the... They changed the kickoff.
Oh, yeah, new kickoff.
Oh, yeah, yeah
new kickoff.
Yeah.
You guys...
Good.
It's good. It looks pretty cool, honestly. Cool. Some people hate it, but like I think it's cool.
I don't remember exactly what it does again. I remember they changed it.
They basically line up right against each other, like the
Oh, right. Okay.
Yeah. And then they kick the ball, and then once they catch it, everyone just goes crazy.
Yeah.
Right.
So it's like
okay.
instead of running like 50 yards down the field, they like start 40 yards down the field already, and then once he catches it, they start running at each other.
I am for it for the very boring reason of less people will die.
Yes.
That is also very good. Yeah.
Yeah.
Here it is. This is the post I'll show. It's just like a little 10-second thing of how it looks.
Oh, they played it in something?
This is the XFL did it. So they're taking it from the XFL, which they should take more things from the XFL, to be honest.
Well, that's part of their partnership. They have a partnership with them.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, they do know.
To test this kind of thing. So I guess they did it right away. That's interesting and good.
Yeah. But
this is their beta environment.
That. But the difference is now if you want to do an onside kick, you have to tell them you're going to do an onside kick. And then, so you can't do any more surprise onside kicks. So some people are like, oh my God, we miss out on the like two onside surprise kicks a year. Like, all right, I could live with that.
Wait. They're always such a thrill, though.
Hold on. To be clear, though, they're nerfing the onside kick again and they're not giving it any buffs?
Pretty much.
Wow. All right. So why don't they just remove it?
I thought they made it so you get like an extra guy to get the onside kick or something. I don't know. I thought they buffed
it. Did they?
Did not hear.
Oh,
this,
that's what they. So that you have to tell them, but I think it's back to the old onside kick and like how it used to be in like 2014 or whatever.
Man, this last patch really ruined things. They got to revert.
So I think it is easier, but like not that much easier. Like it's still.
Well, I mean, in fairness, like most of the time. Yeah, I mean, I don't know why remove this the rare time that it's a surprise, you know, like how often does that even happen?
Because kickoffs fucking sucked right now. Bears said less people would die. More people might die because now the kickoffs will actually happen again because they just weren't happening before.
Yeah,
that's true.
Well, now it's like I believe if you kick it out of bounds or like even out of
it's
the
punishment.
End zone.
Yes. Yeah,
well,
you
out
can't
of bounds
do that anymore.
Wait,
well,
wait,
even
out of the
out
end
of
zone?
The end zone.
Yes. You don't want to do that anymore. Which is good. It was stupid. That was stupid.
It was stupid.
Yeah, well, definitely not going to result in less deaths, though. I guess I didn't understand the situation.
I mean, I guess they're banking on they aren't running as fast. You're not like full speeding it up.
Yeah,
so, like,
yeah.
I mean, I'm assuming they want to make if you're going to remove the touchback rule for kicking out of the back of the end zone, then I would assume they're trying to make the kickoff a little bit more exciting.
Yes, yeah, because even if they changed the kickoff to what they changed it now, if they didn't change that rule, they'd still just kick it in the back of the end zone because, like, why would you want to give them a chance? That's the whole concept. Like,
yeah.
Yeah, so they want to keep the ball in play. That's interesting. So what is the because the penalty if you kick it out at the sidelines is they get it at 40, the 40.
I think it's like an extra 5 yards or something. It might be an extra 10. I think it might be pretty brutal actually.
Yeah. Oh, okay. So it is going to be different if you kick it out the back.
Yeah, no, it's not up to the 40, but I think it's up to 30, 35 or so. I don't remember exactly.
Yeah, I think that's what it was.
So how is that? Do you guys know how is that going to work? What's the minutia of it? If the team surround, you know, like they do with punts and they like, you know, surround the ball spinning and if it spins out of the end zone, is that going to be a thing?
Don't know. This one says any kick that goes out of the back of the end zone starts at the 30. So there you go.
Wow. Yep. Okay. So
kick hits in the end zone, stays in bounds, returned or down. If down, then touches back at the 30 as well. Any kick that hits in the landing zone, then goes into the end zone, must be returned or down by receiving team. If down, then it's the 20.
Oh, okay. Wow.
So no more 25 if you down.
Yeah. Yep.
Interesting. So,
which is good. This is all good. This
I kind of like this.
These are solid patch notes. I think this is
it's good patch notes.
Looking pretty good there. I don't like the changes on the onside kick fully. Unless...
That was unavoidable.
Yeah, you have to do it.
I mean, line up an onside kick when the players are lined up at the 35.
Yeah, I guess that's true. Yeah.
Well, the kicker's going to kick it to himself. He's going to get it every time.
Yeah. Well, then honestly, I still, again, to continue with the gaming terms, the game needs a better comeback mechanic. They still need to address that.
I agree.
Yeah.
Like the onside kick basically went away last year. And I don't know if you guys agree, but like last year, a lot of the games felt very
boring,
decided. Yeah. Like they were pre-decided before the game started, which is kind of lame. And it's better to have an interesting comeback mechanic, in my opinion.
I agree. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It's just more fun to watch like a 4th and 30 with the offense on the field than a kicker try to be like, whoa, got it.
Yeah,
I think from an entertainment perspective, I think that's more fun. Some people would be like, then it favors the team with good offenses. That's literally NFL right now.
Yeah.
It always favors the offense.
And honestly, I mean, look, I don't think it's that unpopular of an opinion, but I'm not really that opposed. I like offense better, you know?
We saw what the Jets do with no offense and all defense, and it's boring shit.
It's fucking horrible. Do you guys want to watch all the Jets games? I don't.
I will. So there's an extreme on both sides where when there's no defense, it's miserable. Too,
it's also bad. Yeah, that was the Packers a lot of the game.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you need some defense, but yeah, it's too much defense. No offense is pretty boring.
Yeah.
But that's what we'll be getting this year. So we'll see how it plays out. And so, hey, thanks for listening.
Cue the music.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Thank you, Patreon members.
Thank you, Patreon.
Thank you, Patreon. Seriously.
Subscribe during the off-season.
Yeah. Especially true heroes, honestly.
Yes. These are all lists from the... Mm-hmm. I haven't updated the list, so this is all from like months ago. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much for your off-season support. We didn't even put in the minimum effort. So
if you subscribe during the off-season, you know damn well what you're getting into.
That's true, yeah.
Yeah, welcome.
Man, are we gonna come back and do the same thing we did last year?
Absolutely.
It'll be great, and we'll see
our lives
our predictions do.
And an important reminder, Thursday we'll do the draft show, which when does it start? 8 o'clock, is that
like 7 or 7 Eastern,
7
central.
I'm thinking, well, who cares about central? I mean, come on.
Not a real time zone.
Yeah,
bro, we all
I'm the only one on the East Coast.
I know. I'm in the non-existent one.
Probably around 7, so we'll be streaming that. It'll be fun.
And then we'll do a post-draft show.
Yeah, post-draft show next week.
That'll probably be our last show for like a while, because nothing is gonna happen.
It'll probably be our last until like the preseason.
Pretty much.
So that's the long night, the long sleep. Get ready.
Yep, the long sleep. But we get some fun and hype until then, and then everybody's like, my team's gonna do really great. And then the season begins.
Been defeated internally.
Since the day I was born.
Well, thanks for listening. Comment, subscribe, check out the draft stream, and we'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.